Good morning, everyone. We'll commence our time of worship by singing together the Psalm number 40, the Psalm number 40 on the page 37 of your hymn book, verses 1 to 5 of the Psalm. The psalmist says, I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. It's a wonderful psalm of testimony. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 5, standing as we sing. Let's stand as we sing.
I'm waiting.
Unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord for His help and blessing and presence in our services here today. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we come, O God, before Thee the Sabbath morning. We come in no merit of our own. We realize in and of ourselves we're bankrupt of absolutely anything that would commend the favor of God. We realize, O God, that as sinners of Adam's fallen race, we have sinned against Thee in thought and word and in deed. Lord, Thy word tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one. And Lord, we confess this is our state by nature before Thee, the holy God of heaven. Yet, O God, we thank Thee for that access that we have, that we can approach unto Thee. Through the one who is our mediator, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, today for the sinless, perfect, spotless Son of God, He who became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And Father, we thank Thee that Christ lived amongst men, that even His very enemy could say, I find in Him no fault at all. And Father, we thank Thee that He went to the cross willingly to suffer and to bleed and to die for our sins. The Bible tells us that when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for us, the ungodly. And Father, we thank Thee, Father, today for the riches of Thy grace that have been revealed unto us in and through the person and through the work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Father, we thank that Christ has died, that He has risen again from the dead, that He has ascended on high, that He has led captivity captive and obtained gifts for men. And Father, we thank Thee for that greatest of all gifts, that of Thy so great salvation, that He has purchased for us at infinite cost by the shedding of His blood and by His death and sacrifice upon that middle tree. And Father, we thank that Christ in heaven is praying for us. And Father, we thank that one day He's coming again in power and in great glory. And Lord, we rejoice, O God, today as Thy people in saving grace and in keeping grace. We rejoice, O God, today in the forgiveness of all of our sins through the precious blood of Christ. Father, we rejoice, O God, today as Thy people in that spotless robe of Christ's perfect righteousness that has been imputed to us. And we thank Thee, O God, that we are accepted in the Beloved and that we can draw nigh to Thee and call Thee Abba, our Father, because of Christ and what He has done for us. And, O God, as we come to Thee today, we thank Thee for the words of this psalm that we have been singing. We thank Thee that Thou art a God in heaven who hears the sinner's cry. We thank that Thou hast lifted us up out of the pit of corruption. Thou hast established us on the way to heaven. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. And Father, we thank Thee that the blessings of God toward us as Thy people are more than can be numbered. And Father, we thank Thee that Thou art the helper, the Savior, the one who is the all in all of Thy people and of Thy church. Lord, bless our coming together here today in the house of God. Lord, we thank Thee for this open door. We thank that we can meet in freedom and in liberty, and none daring to make us afraid. We thank Thee, Lord, for health and strength to come to the house of God. And we acknowledge that all these mercies are from the bountiful hand of Thee, the God of heaven. We thank Thee for the heritage that Thou hast given to us, the psalms and the hymns that we sing. We thank Thee for the word of God in our mother tongue. We thank Thee for the fellowship of the saints of God that we can meet together and that can encourage one another in the Lord. And Father, we thank Thee for Thy word and Thy truth. And Lord, we pray that Thou would just bless Thy word, bless Thy truth to our hearts. Help us today in our worship to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And grant, Lord, that the thoughts of our heart and the words of our lips, O God, would be acceptable in Thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. We thank Thee for our Sunday school this morning and every boy and girl who heard Thy word. And Lord, write these things upon these young hearts and young lives. And Lord, may they hear not just with the ear, but with the heart. And may each and every one of them be made wise unto salvation early in life. And Lord, those who have trusted Thee, we pray that Thou would bless them and lead them on in their Christian life and protect them, Lord, from all the evils and the temptations and the pitfalls of this ungodly world, we pray. And Lord, preserve their testimony and use them as they grow up to be servants of the Lord, we pray. And remember all our Sabbath school teachers, bless them. We thank Thee for each one of them. And may they know the help and the blessing of God upon them and great encouragement in this work this year, we pray. Again, Lord, we thank Thee for the children's meetings and the week that has gone by in Bethel Children's Crusade and all the boys and girls who have heard Your word in halls and in schools, Lord. And bless that ministry also, Lord, in a mighty way this year. and that through it many children will be saved and reached with the gospel, and that their families also will be gathered in unto the sound of thy word and saved by the grace and power of God. Bless the ministry amongst our young people. And Lord, use that to the blessing and guidance of our youth in the way that thou will have them to go. Remember the ongoing online ministry and the door-to-door ministry, the tracts, the invites given out around the homes. Bless the printed page. Extend thy kingdom and build thy church in this corner of thy vineyard. Again, Lord, we think of those that cannot come today because of age and sickness and infirmity. Lord, touch them and bless them and raise them up, O God, today. May they know that touch in their body. May they know that encouragement in their soul, we pray. And for others who have suffered loss in recent times, Lord, do comfort their hearts. We think even of that family here in this community. Breathe through this fire. We pray that thou will give them great comfort. That thou, Lord, will be near unto them, we pray. And that especially, Lord, that family circle will know the abounding comforts of the gospel in their heart and in their soul at this time. And even through these things, Lord, speak to young and old alike to prepare to meet God and to prepare to leave this world. Lord, even unexpectedly and suddenly, we ask. Father in heaven, we do pray, O God, for all who have gathered with us here today. We thank you for every family represented, Lord. Meet the need of every heart, of every life. Encourage thy people. Build us up in our holy faith. May we decrease, Lord. May thou increase in our hearts and lives. For any, Lord, that are maybe going through times of trial, strengthen them. And those needing a word of direction, be thou their guide. Teach them clearly the way that thou will have them to go. For any maybe walking afar off from thee today, maybe are in bypath meadow, Lord, restore them unto thyself. And Father, for any with us today, be the young or be the old, and Lord, they're still not saved. The Lord, they know the gospel, they have heard the gospel, but as yet they've never came as a sinner to Christ. Oh God, we pray today, by thy Spirit, by thy power, Lord, that they might come to an end of themselves, and that they might come to rest and to trust alone in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Unite all our families in the Lord, O God, we pray. And for those who listen in online today, whoever they are, wherever they might be, Lord, bless them and minister to them by the grace of God. Bless all our sister congregations today in like fashion. And Lord, wherever thy word is faithfully preached, own it and bless it and use it. We thank thee for that mission that has gone almost over, Lord, in Macrolin. Bless the seed that has been sown there, and give thy servants tokens for good and souls through that outreach, we pray. Even in the final meeting this afternoon, Lord, save precious souls and bless your people there. Remember, O God, our missionaries today. We thank thee for those that have gone at the call of God, left behind family and loved ones and their homeland. Lord, bless them, minister to them, make up every need in their life, we pray, and encourage them greatly in the Lord, we ask of thee. We do pray, Lord, for our churches today in North America and Canada and in the United States. Bless each one of them, every minister and their missionary works connected with them as well, and use them for the glory of the Lord. We pray especially, Lord, today for thy people in Ukraine. Bless them, protect them. Lord, add to thy church there. Lord, grant that soon there will be peace and stability in that land, and that Putin and his army would leave that land, we pray of thee. Remember, O God, the needs, especially practical needs of your people at this time. Meet that need and grant, Lord, that thou would intervene there in mercy, Lord, even in the affairs of men. Remember our land here and all of its need. Have mercy upon it. We pray for revival. We pray for reformation. Have mercy upon our king and the royal family. May the light of the truth of the gospel shine into that household, and may their hearts be drawn out after Christ and after the things of God. Remember, O God, our government, those that rule in our land and in our nation, and those even amongst them that would profess thy name. Give them grace and courage and strength to do what's right in the sight of God, and those who would seek to promote that which is evil and wicked in the sight of God. Spoil their plans, we pray, and grant, Lord, that they would realize there's a God in heaven with whom we have to do. Father, we thank Thee that we're able to spread all these needs before Thee. And Father, we pray for our land and nation as Thou hast blessed in former times, O God, that Thou will come again in mercy, and that even in this year, this new year that we've entered into, that we might see a great outpouring of the Spirit of God in revival power and in revival grace. Bless us now, we pray. Tune every heart, Lord, to sing Thy praise. Help us, Lord, to magnify Thy name and all that will be said and done today. Hide man very far behind the cross today, we pray. Uplift the Savior. Do every heart good, we pray. And let the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified amongst us this day. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Turning again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 41. The hymn number 41 on the page 192, a wonderful hymn of testimony. Come sing, my soul, and praise the Lord, who hath redeemed thee by his blood, delivered thee from chains that bind, and brought thee to redemption ground. Hymn number 41, standing as we sing.
Oh,
have your Bible with you, I'd ask you to turn, please, to the Old Testament book of Genesis and to the chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42. Before Christmas last year, we're looking at the life of Joseph. We took a break from that. We want to recommence again our studies in the life of Joseph. And we're reading today from Genesis chapter 42, beginning at the verse number 1 of the chapter. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together this morning. Genesis chapter 42, the verse number 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do you look one upon another? They said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt, but Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren, for he said, Lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over all the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan, to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. They said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons, we are true men, thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man, in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with her father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, That it is that I speak unto you, saying, Ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come thither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother. Ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether they may be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together in ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, This do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, Speak I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Amen. Ending our reading there at verse number 24, and we pray that God would add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning to God's house. It's good to see all who have gathered with us today. I bid you all a very warm word of welcome. And if you're visiting with us, it's a joy to visitors in our fellowship. If you're a believer, may you be encouraged today, led on with the Lord. And if you're here today and you know not Christ as Savior, our prayer is today, even as we're singing in that hymn, that you would come today to rest upon Christ and trust in Him alone for salvation. We also welcome those who may be viewing online. Thank you for joining with us. We pray the Lord will richly bless you today as well through His Word and through His truth. The announcements for the week are as follows. Remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30. The prayer room at the front, encourage as many as possible to gather. And then the evening gospel service at 7 p.m. is the form of a special family and friends night service. It's a testimony meeting. And our brother, the Reverend David McLaughlin, minister of our church in Carrickduff, will be long to share a word of testimony, to tell of the Lord's saving grace and the Lord's keeping power in his life. So pray for our brother as he comes. We encourage you to make the meeting known. There's still wee invite cards there out on the table in the porch. Do take those and give them out and invite and encourage friends along and family even to the meeting this evening. Tuesday night, 8 p.m. is our prayer meeting night, and it'll be a form of a special deputation meeting. Our brother, Mr. Callum Webster, will be with us from the work of Christian Institute. He'll be speaking on that work, and there'll be an offering for that work. And we encourage as many as possible to come along. The Christian Institute is an organization worthy of our prayers and our support. They do a sterling work, especially in dealing with a lot of the immoral issues that are so much to the fore in our land and our nation at this time, and have been a great help also to God's people in our own society who are being persecuted for their faith and for their stand for the Lord. So remember that meeting. Do come along. Our brother will have literature as well. And we trust that God will bless our brother as he comes. Children's meetings this week, each night at 6:30. Tuesday night, Tresna, Maguire's Bridge, Thursday, here in Bethel, Friday night. Also Friday night, 8 p.m., the Youth Fellowship. We trust as many as possible the youth will gather on Friday night. Also this coming Friday night, being the first Friday of the month, is our presbytery meeting, and that is a Zoom meeting. So I'd ask the brethren to remember that. This coming Saturday is the restart again this year of the Consider Christ outreach down to Selbridge in County Kildare. Pray for that. I know it doesn't suit a lot of people with commitments of work and whatever, but pray for it. And again, if you can come, would like to come, let us know and we'll let you know the arrangements. Next Lord's Day, the 5th of February, Sunday School and Bible Class, 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7 p.m. We'll be long to bring God's Word at both services. Both services also preceded by the half hour of prayer, and then immediately after the morning service is the Lord's table, and that is open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. You don't have to be a member of this church, but if you know and love the Lord as Savior, the Lord invites you to remember His death in His own appointed way. Next Sunday, being the first Sunday of the month, is also building fund offering, and the building fund offering for the month of January came to £875. For which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. Do remember, please, and keep free, the gospel praise service here in the church will be Friday night, the 24th of February at 8 p.m. Our brother, the Reverend Marcus Leckie, will be preaching the gospel that night. Him and his wife will be singing. Raymond and Jenny Foy will be singing. And Joanne McCammon as well will be singing. So remember that meeting. Keep that night free. Want to make it a special evening of outreach as well, and do what you can to make it known and invite others in under the sound of God's Word. Also, just like to announce that our brother, Mr. Jeffrey Scott, and his wife, June, have retired from the position of Missionary Council representatives, and we thank them for their sterling work in that work over many years and for their stickability in that work. And we pray the Lord will bless them as they step down from that. And just then, on account of that, the session also have appointed Mr. John Dee and his wife Bernice to take up that role as being our church's missionary council representatives. And we pray the Lord will also bless them and make them a blessing as they take up that work even in the days that lie ahead. Also, draw your attention there to prayer letters from the work of FAME Missionary Organization. They're out there on the table in the porch, and you get a copy there as you leave. That's all by way of necessary announcements. Turning again to the hymn number 510, How I Praise Thee, Precious Savior, that Thy love laid hold of me, Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might a channel be. We'll keep our seats for the early part of this hymn. Do you remember the offering? The plates as you leave. We don't take up an offering during the service, but do you remember the offering for the Lord's work. 510, keeping our seats while we sing. singing verse 5, making it our final verse. Verse 5 in the chorus. To that passage of scripture we read earlier, please, to Genesis chapter 42, and with God's word open before us, let us bow, please, in a brief word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we come now afresh to thee, and we pray that as we turn to thy word, that the Lord will speak to us, and above and beyond the voice of the preacher today, the voice of the Lord would be heard. Hide man far behind the cross. Empty me of self and of sin. Fill me, O God, afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God, and give help to preach your word. Give right words, Lord, for thou said how forcible are right words. And let thy word find a resting place in every heart, young and old alike. Use thy word to the strengthening of the saints of Zion. Lord, use thy word to the salvation of eternal, never-dying souls. Lord, use thy word to the glorifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray and ask all these things. Amen. Our text for today is verse number 8 of Genesis chapter 42. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. Now our text here today relates to Joseph's first interview with his brothers down in the land of Egypt. 20 years have now passed since he and his brothers have last met together. In fact, the last time that they met together, his brothers cruelly treated him and selling him as a slave to the Ishmaelites, and eventually then for him down as a slave into Egypt. However, the situation for Joseph and his brothers has greatly changed. Joseph is no longer a slave, but rather he's now a very powerful statesman in the land of Egypt. And by this reunion with Joseph, we see how his brothers are humbled and made low before the God of heaven. Now, the cause of their meeting was that their brothers came to Egypt to buy corn in the time of famine. Look at verse 1 and 2 of the chapter. It says, "Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his brothers, Why do you look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down hither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." So their brothers head off to Egypt to buy corn, and going to Egypt, they never ever expected to see Joseph. As far as they were concerned, Joseph was now dead. And you see that from what they say in conversation to Joseph in verse 13 of the chapter when they relate to Joseph about their family. They said, "Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, that is Benjamin. One is not." And that final statement there, "one is not," was there belief regarding Joseph that Joseph himself was dead and was not alive. But the scriptures show us how Joseph was very much alive, and he was now a very powerful figure in the land of Egypt. And our text says in verse number 8, it says, "And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not." And here our text tells us how Joseph, he recognized his brothers after these years of being apart. But they did not recognize Joseph, and in turn, Joseph himself, he conceals his identity to them at this time. And at the beginning, we see how in this interview here that Joseph is harsh with them, and He accuses them of being spies. Look at verse 7 and verse 9 of the chapter. In verse 7 it says, "And he spake roughly unto them." In the latter part of verse 9 he says, "Ye are spies. To see the nakedness of the land ye are come." And we see how the brothers, they protest against this accusation, and they relate to him their family and their family circumstances. Look at verse 10 and 11. "And they said unto him, Nay, my Lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. And we are all one man's sons, and we are true men. Thy servants are no spies." And then in verse 13, they continue this protest by saying, "Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not." And the outcome of this interview is that Simeon is taken and he is put in prison. You see that from verse 19 and the latter part of verse 24 of the chapter. Verse 19, Joseph says to him, "If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses." And it says there of Joseph at the end of verse 24 in his conduct toward them, "And he returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes." And the chapter tells us how Simeon's release would only occur whenever his brothers go back home and they return with Benjamin, their youngest son, to supposedly verify their genuineness. And notice how Joseph tells them of this in verse 20. He says, "But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified. Ye shall not die." And they did so. And following this, the chapter tells us then how Joseph commands his servants to fill the sacks of his brothers with corn. And then also, unknown to them, he has their money also returned and hidden in their sacks. Now, Joseph's action here toward his brothers at this time, yes, it may seem a mystery to many. Also to many, his action may seem unjustified. But in all of this, Joseph, he maintains an excellent testimony, and he had good reason for treating his brothers in this fashion at this time. Our text speaks to us of Joseph and says, "And Joseph knew his brethren." Joseph knew his brethren. And indeed, Joseph was a man who knew what he was doing at this particular juncture in his life and at this time in his interview with his brothers. In this first interview here with his brothers, we see some important characteristics that shine forth from the life of Joseph. Characteristics that are a great example to God's people. And it is those important characteristics that shine forth in the life of Joseph at this time that I want us to note in our service today. Notice first of all here with me Joseph's patience. Verse 8 there says, "And Joseph knew his brethren." And in doing so, verse 7 also tells us, "He made himself strange unto them." In other words, in his first encounter with his brothers, he does not reveal his identity. And here we see something of Joseph's patience. In fact, he was to wait until his second meeting with them before he tells them who he is. And Joseph here, he concealed who he was because he himself wanted to see if a change for good had happened in the hearts and the lives of his brothers. He also wanted to see if they would rightly manage and rightly appreciate the blessing of food and prosperity to them in their own lives. Therefore, in all of this, we see how Joseph is patient in concealing his identity and concealing who he was as he meets with his brothers on this occasion. And my just as Joseph was patient, so every Christian also must learn to display the grace of patience. In the book of James, it says to the believer, it says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." In the book of 2 Timothy, it says to the Christian, and let the servant of the Lord, he must not strive, but let him be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. It has been said that patient waiting is often the highest way of doing God's will. Yes, you and I who are saved, we are to be a patient people. We are to display the grace of patience. And people, is this not the mark of the Lord Himself, our Savior and our Redeemer? How patient the Lord is. You think of how Moses describes the Lord and that great description of the Lord. And Exodus 34 in the verse number 6, he says this, the Lord is long-suffering. And when he speaks there of the Lord being long-suffering, he's speaking of the patience of the Lord. Turn with me in your Bible over to the New Testament book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And go down to verse number 9 of that chapter. Here you see reference being made to the patience, the long-suffering of the Lord and the salvation of sinners. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but as long-suffering. And you could really write over that word long-suffering, but as patient. But as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And believer, think of your own heart today. Think of your own life today. Think of your own circumstances. And together, child of God, how great has been the patience, how great has been the long-suffering of the Lord toward you and I, both before we were saved and indeed after we have been saved and converted as the children of God. How patient the Lord has been with every one of us. How gracious, how long-suffering. And dear unsaved friend in our meeting this morning, can I say also, this is why you are still alive today. This is still why you've got health and strength and breath in your body today. It's because of the patience of the Lord with you. It's because of the long-suffering of the Lord toward you. Why are you still alive today? Because God is patient. God is long-suffering. But if you're here today and you're still not saved, I must warn you that there's a time when God's patience ends with sinners. There's a time when God's long-suffering comes to an end with sinners, because the Bible says in Genesis 6, verse 3, God is speaking, and He says, My Spirit, He says, shall not always strive with man. Unsaved friend, do not take the patience of God for granted. Do not take the long-sufferings of God toward you for granted. No, God is patient, God is merciful. But the Bible says, he that been often reproved, hardened of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and not without remedy. There's a time when God's patience comes to an end. But my child of God, God has been patient with you and I before we were saved, and indeed after we were saved. And child of God, can I say, believer in Christ and the Lord's work, you and I are to be patient. We're to be patient in spreading God's word and sowing the gospel seed, waiting for the Lord to give the increase, to give the harvest, to give the blessing. You think of the farmer who labors in the field and sows the seed on Monday morning. He does not go out on Tuesday morning expecting a harvest. No, he waits the time. He is patient until the appointed time of harvest season. In the book of Galatians, Paul says to you and I who are saved, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. How we are to be patient in sowing the gospel seed. Also, brethren and sisters in Christ, we are to be patient in our dealings with others. The Bible says to you and I who are saved, be patient toward all men, toward those who are saved and those who are unsaved. And then, child of God, you and I also are to be patient in the place of prayer. Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That speaks of patience at the throne of grace and seeking God and calling upon the Lord's name. Turn over to Psalm 40. We sung that psalm at the opening start of our service. Psalm number 40, and look at how it begins. The psalmist here testifies to God's patience and answering prayer. He says in verse 1 in Psalm 40, he says, that is David. I waited, he says, patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. David was a patient man. He was patient in the place of prayer. He says, I waited patiently upon the Lord. And he was not disappointed. He says of the Lord, he inclined unto me. Oh, child of God, what's the lesson here for you and I? Yes, be patient in prayer. In other words, believer, do not give up in prayer. Do not cast off the great work of praying. My, continue praying, dear believer, for that loved one that is still out of Christ, that loved one that is maybe afar from the Lord today. Christian, keep on praying for that need in your home, that need in your family, whatever that need is. Believer, keep on praying for that need, that blessing, and the work of God that you're involved in, whatever that work is. Think of our land, Christian, continue on praying, interceding with God for our land. The Lord is looking for men and women to stand in the gap and to pray for the land and to pray for the nation. Oh, Christian, let us not be those who give up and cast off the great mercy, the great blessing, the great work of prayer. Oh, believer, in learning here from Joseph, let us learn to be patient. And how important it is that we pray for patience, that we pray for stickability in God's work, in the cause of Christ, and in all our service for God. We see here, yes, Joseph's patience. Not only do we see Joseph's patience here in this first interview with his brothers, we see also Joseph's self-control. We see his self-control. It says there in our text in Genesis 42, verse 8, it says, And Joseph knew his brethren. And knowing his brothers, Joseph, he was not hard-hearted, but he had feeling. He had compassion, and all of this, he showed tremendous self-control. Look at verse 21 and verse 22 of the chapter. Here we have the brothers in conversation with themselves. And it says, and they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, that's Joseph, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And here we see how the consciences now of Joseph's brothers are being pricked. And their thinking is that their present trouble, their present turmoil was all due to their past treatment of their brother Joseph. Look at what it says about Joseph there in verse 24 of the chapter. It says, and he turned himself about from them and wept. And here you see how Joseph hides his feelings at this time, such as his temperance, and my, it is due to his self-control that he hides his identity from them on this occasion. Look at verse 23 of the chapter. It says, and they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And here we see how he exercises great discipline, great self-control, great restraint, as he meets with his brothers on this occasion. Turn over to the next chapter, chapter 43. And you go down to verse 30 and verse 31. You see again him exercising that restraint, that temperance, that control, and hiding his emotions even in a similar way when he meets with his youngest brother, the young Benjamin. In verse 30 and 31 it says, and Joseph made haste when he met with Benjamin and saw him, for his brothers' bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there, and he washed his face and went out and refrained himself. And there we see Joseph's temperance, his discipline, his self-control. And all of this, yes, Joseph here is an example. He's an example to every Christian about controlling their emotions, yes, their temper, yes, their life as the people of God. Turn with me over to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And I want you to see what Solomon says here to you and I who are saved in this meeting today. Proverbs chapter 16. Go down to verse number 32 of the chapter. Proverbs 16, verse 32. Look at what it says. It says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." And believer, here the Lord tells us that controlling our emotions, our temper, our anger, whatever, it's a greater feat, he says, even than a general who defeats a great fortified city. Oh, such is the importance of this in the life of the Christian. God says in his word, it's greater than a general, than a great military commander in his feet, in defeating a city. And can I say, dear people, this morning, this is contrary to the thinking of our world today at large. You see, the spirit of multitudes today in our society is all about themselves. It's all about the promotion of self and the promotion of their own agenda. Yes, the attitude of multitudes today in our society is this: I live as I please. I do as I want. That which concerns me, that's the whole agenda by and large throughout our society today. And what is the outcome? The outcome is trouble, chaos, sorrow, violence, crime, immorality, sin in society, in the home, in the workplace, and in society at large. That's the spirit abroad today. Well, Christian, you and I, we're not to live like the ungodly. We're not to be like the ungodly. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 says that our lives as Christians are to be temperate in all things. Philippians 4, verse 5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." That speaks of self-control. It speaks of discipline and the life of the Christian and the life of the child of God. Not living for self or the things of this world at a whim, no. Brethren and sisters in Christ, can I say that this was the constant testimony of our Savior while he was here on earth, even under intense provocation. Turn in your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And look at what you read there about the Lord Jesus, our Savior. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 and the verse number 22 and 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. And look at what it says. And Peter here is addressing the Christian. You and I are saved. He sets before us the greatest of examples, that of Christ. In verse 21, he says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." And Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is to be our example in life as God's people. He is to be our pattern. And child of God, can I say it? It's by prayer, by praying for grace, praying for the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we can bear that good testimony for Christ and all the challenges that daily life brings to us here on earth as Christians. The Bible says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and with godly fear. The Bible says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" Daily in our lives, we should pray for grace, pray for the infilling of the Spirit of God, that you and I might bear a good testimony, a God-honoring testimony in all the challenges and all the providences and all the provocations of life that come our way as Christians. Turn with me over to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. And here you read of something in the life of Moses. And bear in mind, dear people, Moses was a great servant of God, perhaps the greatest of God's servants in the Old Testament. The Bible says there was none like him. Here we see how he lost out because of lack of self-control under provocation. Psalm 106, and look at what you read about Moses in verse 32 and verse number 33. It concerns the chidings of the children of Israel and the journey towards the wilderness to the promised land. And it says, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sake, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. God, there was no water, and the people complained, they murmured. And God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, just speak to the rock, and I'll send water. But Moses lost his temper, and he smote the rock, and he disobeyed the Lord, and he spake unadvisedly with his lips. And as a result of that, he was not allowed by God to lead the children of Israel in person to the promised land. Let that be a warning to us all as Christians. Child of God, daily pray for grace. Pray for the power of the Holy Spirit not to yield to sin, not to yield to the temptations of this life and this world. Pray for grace and power to be a good witness for Christ in this evil world. The Bible says, Christian, ask and you shall receive. Let us follow the example here of Joseph. There was patience, there was self-control. Notice something else here. Notice there was wisdom in Joseph's part. You go back again there to Genesis chapter number 42 and look at what you read again there of Joseph in that chapter. Genesis chapter 42, it says, and Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. By dealing with his brothers as he did, Joseph was to witness a change occurring in their lives and in their behavior. Over there in verse 21 and 22, they acknowledge that what they'd done to Joseph in the past was wrong. And then also we see from what is said down at the very end of verse 28, they acknowledge there's a God in heaven with whom they have to do. Verse 28 says of one of their brothers, and he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack, and their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God have done unto us? There we see how his brothers realize there's a God in heaven with whom they have to do. There's one by whom actions are weighed and actions are tried. And by concealing his identity, Joseph saw this taking place, this change taking place in the thinking, in the mindset, and the hearts of his brothers. Indeed, through the wisdom of Joseph's influence at this time, God was now working in the lives of his brothers. And wisdom, it was the constant mark of Joseph's life. Remember what ungodly Pharaoh said about Joseph on a prior occasion. He said, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. And that wisdom was given to him from God. And likewise, believer, if you and I are to glorify God in our daily lives, if we are to be the means of pointing others to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, then you and I, we need wisdom. Every single one of us are candidates for the wisdom of God. Whether we're saved recently, or whether we're on the road to heaven a long time, the Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And people, can I say, the Lord himself is the only true source of wisdom that we need. The Bible says, the Lord give of wisdom. The Bible says, the Lord give thee understanding in all things. John Calvin said, to search for wisdom apart from Christ means not simply foolhardiness, but is utter insanity. How foolish it is for men to seek wisdom apart from the Lord and apart from the grace of Christ. Therefore, child of God, it's vital that we pray day by day for wisdom. Wisdom in all the challenges of life, all the difficulties of life, all the trials and the battles of life, and all the things that concern us and God's work. Dear believer, let me encourage you today. God has wisdom for you if you pray and you seek God and call upon his name. Turn over there to James the little book of James, James chapter 1. And look at this promise, dear believer. Mark it in your Bible. It's a promise that you and I need in our daily life as Christians. James chapter 1 and the verse number 5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." Notice the promise. "And it shall be given him." Can we ever say we have enough wisdom that we don't need any more? If we ever get to that state of thinking where the devil's full, day by day, dear Christian, you and I need the wisdom of the Lord to serve the Lord, to witness for Him, to live for Him in our homes, in our workplaces, in the community, and in God's work and all that concerns us. O child of God, may you know what it is to be guided by the Lord, so that you as a believer might live above the world and sin, that you might live to God's honor and glory in all your ways, in all your dealings with others, even as it was with Joseph at this time in his life. Here's a young man now in his middle years displaying the great wisdom of God, a bright testimony for the Lord as Savior. May it be so in all our lives. If there's one here today and you're not saved, you don't know the Lord, oh, that you would seek that wisdom of God's salvation and be made wise today unto salvation. Come just as you are to Jesus Christ. Confess your sins to Him. Rest in His atoning death and sacrifice alone for your salvation. And glory to God, He'll forgive all your sins. He'll bring you into His family. He'll bless you in this life. And one day He'll take you home to be with Himself in heaven forevermore. We're going to close our meeting today by singing together the hymn number 494 in your hymn book. 494, "Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." The hymn number 494, standing as we sing.
Oh,
bless of thy word to our heart today. And may the lessons from Joseph's life be imprinted not just in our minds, but in the deepest recesses of our hearts. May our lives as your people be marked by patience, by restraint, and by the wisdom of God, that others might take knowledge that we have been to Jesus, that we belong to the Lord in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, and in thy work, that even by our witness, by our testimony, Christ would be glorified, that the grace of God would be magnified in our lives, and that others might be directed to the Savior. And for any, Lord, in this meeting today, and Lord, they're unsaved, they're under the sentence of divine wrath and condemnation, speak to them, O God, today. May they flee with every haste in their soul to Christ, flee from the wrath to come, and be saved and cleansed by the blood of Christ. Answer prayer to this end. Take us to our homes and safely journey with us. Bless us throughout thy day. Return us again in thy will this evening hour. We ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen.